Good morning. Happy Easter. My name is Gary Brelsford. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. They didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you've ever heard a story, a tale, a soliloquy, and you thought to yourself, that's a silly story. I wonder if there's something passed down from your Aunt Mabel all the way down to your grandfather, but over to your mother, and it finally rested in your little sweet head, and you were like, that doesn't make sense. That's just nonsense. I wonder if there was like something you binge-watched on Netflix, and you spent like all of your time watching this thing. You're like, what did I spend my time wasting all my time on that one series for? I know you've done it. And you thought to yourself, when you get to the end of the story, when you get to the end of the tale, you think, that story was just an idle tale. An idle tale. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And I am here to tell you the story. I have the privilege and the opportunity to tell you the best story that's ever been told, amen? But seriously, what story have you heard lately and you thought that was good news, or you thought it was fake news? What story have you heard and you thought, I'm going to have to check that out because that just doesn't make sense? And how much time am I going to waste on this tale, because something tells me in my spirit that this tale is just an idle tale. In my previous life, I spent a lot of time at sea. I was in the British Royal Navy, for those of you who don't know, which is like the American Navy, only smaller. I spent a lot of time at sea, and I was kind of like the peon, you know? I was one of the guys who was all the way down the bottom down here. And so often we would hear some stories or some tales or some kind of fake news that was passed down from on high. The commander-in-chief would tell the groups of ships, and then those ships, groups of ships would tell their captains, and then the captain would tell something, and it would kind of drivel down to the bottom, and we got like a bit of what was meant to be the tale. And we were stuck in the Black Sea. We were at the end of a 7.5-month trip. I left my daughter at home, who was 4 months old, and I couldn't wait to get back to be there for her first birthday. I was at sea for 7.5 months. I'm like, yes, 9 days to go. And we were stuck in the Black Sea. The Bosphorus and the Sea of Marmara and the Dardanelles Straits, which leads down into the Aegean Sea, were just totally covered in fog. And we couldn't get through. The port authorities said, no, you can't get through. Your arrival home in Portsmouth is going to be delayed a day. We've been at sea for 7.5 months. I wanted to get home. My wife was going to be on the jetty waiting for the ship to come home with all the other families. And we were going to be a day late. We were meant to get there on the 20th, and the projected date was the 21st of November. And the captain got all passionate and says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, guys. We're going to make it home in time. And when this fog is going to lift pretty soon, and we're going to like go really fast all the way home, all the way back to Portsmouth, like Pirates of the Caribbean. Dun, 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 you know, like, let's go, yeah. Sure enough, the fog lifted. We made it through the Dardanelles, south, through the Aegean Sea. Max chat, all the way south to the Aegean Sea. Took a right west through the Mediterranean. All of a sudden, we had this massive storm. Boom, boom, boom. The sea was hitting the bow of the ship, and the anchor was hitting into the front of the ship, and we were miserable because you know what was coming. You're going to be delayed. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it home, says the captain. We'll make it home. We took a right turn through past Gibraltar, right turn north into the Atlantic Ocean and into the English Channel. But when we got to the English Channel, a message came from down high and said, whoa, 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 stop. You can't come home today. We told all the families, this is before the internet, this is before any kind of like cell phones and all those kind of things. They said, we signaled the families, and the families are going to be there on the 21st. You can't come in on the 20th. No, it was just a load of baloney. It was just an idle time. Are you kidding me? And that was the longest 24 hours ever as I waited to get alongside in Portsmouth along with the 269 people that were on the ship waiting to get home to their families. We got home the next day and everything was fine. But the story they told us was an idle tale. The things we believe and the things we remember are sometimes just idle tales. And that was the true of the story that you are here today to hear. You are here today to listen to. You're here today to commemorate. You're here to celebrate. You're here to place again into your thought process, oh, this is what I believe. The story starts with a man who actually was in the religious council. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew. In fact, he was that Jewish. He came from a town, Arimathea, which was a very Jewish town. Joseph of Arimathea. He was part of the Sanhedrin, and he's decided to follow Jesus based on his actions. He goes to Pilate, the guy who put Jesus on the cross, and he says to him, can I have the body? And Pilate's like, yeah, I'm done with that. You're good. So he and his friend Nicodemus, who was also part of the Sanhedrin, the one who went to see Jesus late at night and asked him how he must be saved, and Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went to the cross and pulled down from the cross Jesus' body and placed it in a tomb. Not any ordinary tomb. Jews generally were placed in tombs with their family members. And especially if you were poorer, the more people you could get in one tomb, the better. If you were an offender of the empire, the tomb that you got was a recycled one. They placed you in there. We don't really care about your body because you offended the Roman Empire. Joseph and Nicodemus wanted a tomb that was worthy of a king. Joseph put aside his tomb so that they could place Jesus in the tomb that was for somebody rich and somebody in authority. He wouldn't need it very long, would he? And so the tomb is now filled with Jesus' body. The men leave Jesus in the tomb. And it's at Passover. It's a really important time in the Jewish calendar when we celebrate the angel of death passing over the Israelites in Egypt. And it's at Passover time. It's really super busy, and the Sabbath is just going by. So the women wait a little while before they go to the tomb. They wait a whole day. And as soon as the sun rises, we have the text what's given to you today. We're going to put it on the screen for you. If you've got a Bible in front of you, open it to Luke 24. Because when you read it this time, I guarantee you, you're going to see something different than you've seen before or than you've heard before. Luke 24, verse 1. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They had found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So it was Sunday. It was the third day, and the women went to the tomb. So there were five women there. There was Mary of Magdala that was there. Mary of Magdala was the one who was set free from seven demons, who passionately followed Jesus and passionately wanted to be wherever he was. She was there. Alongside her was, of course, Mary, mother of Jesus. There was Joanna, who was the wife of Chuza, and Chuza was a servant of Herod, so kind of like close to the Romans. There was Susanna and Salome, who was the father, who was related to the two boys, the sons of thunder. So the five women go to the tomb. And when they get to the tomb, what do they see? They see that the stone had been rolled away. Now, in other scriptures, they've just seen it. In another gospel, they're running to the tomb, and they're like, who's going to move the stone out the way? Notice the stone is moved not so that Jesus can get out. Jesus can get out. He's cool, right? The stone is rolled away so that we can go in and see what's happened. So Jesus isn't there. So they go in and they don't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They're expecting to find the body, to put the spices in there so that the body doesn't stink, to take care of the tomb, to make it smell nice, to show some respect to their Savior. And there's no body in there. Other gospels say that actually his clothes were folded at the head of the tomb. Not like shed, like someone disappeared, but folded by the head of the tomb. Like his mother had just folded them. Like he just placed them there, like I won't be needing them anymore. In verse 4 it says, as they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, the two angels asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. So if the women weren't already nervous enough as they've been running on the way to the tomb, all of a sudden an earthquake goes. They're not sure what that's about, but they're confused and they're upset. They're worried and concerned. And all of a sudden, two men show up like Abraham's descendants. Like, hey, guys, how you doing? What are you doing here? They bow down to the ground in front of these two angels, all five of them. They're so worried and so concerned. They bow down in front of the angels and say, why are you here? Why are you looking for Jesus who was crucified? Didn't you know? Didn't you expect? Don't you think he is risen? All right, we'll try that again. Didn't you know? Didn't you expect? You were with him all the time. You were all the way through. You heard him say, you heard him predict his death. You heard him say, I will die. You hear him say, on the third day I will rise again. He's not here. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. And the women are bewildered. The women are worried. They're concerned. What could this possibly mean? These two great angels are speaking to us. What does this mean? Crucified. Betrayed. into the hands of simple men and be crucified. Rise on the third day. The next verse says, then they remembered this. Then they remembered this. The proverbial penny starts to drop in the women's heads. He was crucified and betrayed. He was betrayed into the hands of simple men. He was crucified, and it's the third day. He said he would rise again. That's why he's not here. He is risen. Verse 9, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary from Magdala and Magdala, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who had told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. So they're rushing back. The five of them, they pick up their cloaks, and run as fast as they can to see the disciples, to see the men that were huddled up in a room, nervous and worried and upset with what had happened to their Savior. And they get to the disciples, and of course, the testimony of a woman was debatable in first century Israel, especially in a court system. Definitely not a good testimony to have of women. Tell my daughter that, by the way. She's a lawyer, so that doesn't really fit today. But what are you on about? Jesus is risen. I mean, you think they'd listen to them because they'd been with them all the way through in these last 3 years. And they understood it. Some people said that the body had been stolen, that someone else had rolled the stone away and they'd stolen the body from the tomb. I'm not sure who really wanted the body. I mean, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they wanted that body to rot as fast as possible. They wanted that thing gone off the planet Earth. The Romans, they were nervous. They weren't sure what to do. So they put this big stone in front of it. And they did that for everybody's tomb. But with this one, they put that really good gorilla glue on it, They wrapped that baby around. They're like, that'll do. That's going to do good. Nothing's going to move it there out of the way. That glue is the best glue ever. Ha! Fat lot of good that did. And the disciples, they weren't going to steal the body. They were nervous. They weren't sure what was going to happen. Peter, listened to the women for a little bit and then ran to the tomb. And even he didn't believe immediately, like Luke says. It seems out of all the groups and all the crowds of the people, the only people that understood what was happening at the tomb, the only people that understood that Jesus was going to rise again was the women. Of course, today, I want you to listen to the women. They leave the tomb. They leave the tomb to tell the disciples what had gone on. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua is the one who took over from Moses in our biblical story. And he is encouraging and talking to the Israelites about what they should do and what they should choose. Because a big part of our theology is that we have to make a choice. And he says to them on this great big mountain, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Today, as you hear the Easter message, as you hear the gospel, as you hear what Jesus would be for us. Ponder who you are gonna choose. Ponder what story you're gonna listen to. Ponder what news you're gonna listen to. This is not fake news. This is not nonsense. This is not an idle tale. This is the greatest story you have ever heard, and it's not going away soon. This is the absolute epicenter of why you are here today. Stories will come and go. Bad tales will come and go. Tales that people say, oh, this is true. And 61,000 people today in Palm Harbor are dying to hear this story. People all around the world, all around the United States, and all around the world are celebrating this day with you. And this is what we commemorate. This is what we celebrate. And this is what we perpetuate. And this story is no idle tale, amen? This story is for you. This story is for me. It's for the person on the organ playing right now. It's for everybody online who's watching right now. It's for your children. It's for your children's children. It's for the children who have never been born yet. It's for everybody who comes into this world. And this is no idle tale, amen? Amen?